You get the head, the tail, the whole damn thing. It's the Pharaoh Wizards. I'm Alvin, aka Dr. Feel Average.
And I'm Mike, or Too Long Farts. I feel like the tail in this analogy.
Well, for $10,000, you can find out. Anyway, this is a very special episode. It is the, I want to say, third episode where we deliberately handpicked a game. Unless you count Conquer. I guess we kind of picked Conquer on its own too. But anyway, it's one of my personal favorites. It's Pokemon Snap week on the week of the sequel release here, which is why we picked the game. So I'm excited. Are you excited?
I am excited. I also like this game. I don't think I have quite the fandom that you have of it, but I mean, I remember playing it over the course of the last 20 years sporadically because it's the only game like it as far as on the rails and a photography simulation and Pokemon. I mean, there's
That's
lots
true.
of, like, we've talked about lots of, there's lots of, photo video games, your Eternal Darkness, or, and there's, even like, what's that, Dead Rising or whatever, it's got all sorts of photo elements. There's tons of photography
Yeah.
games, Fatal Frame, and then there's lots of rail shooters, which are also lots of fun, like Alien Defense Force and Sin and Punishment, and but there's not one that's both, and there definitely isn't one that's both and Pokemon, and I love those things.
And there's definitely only one thing like this on Nintendo 64. So, and that's what we do. We play Nintendo 64 games so you don't have to. I guess do you got any Pokemon Snap facts?
Yeah. Published by Nintendo, developed by HAL Labs, July 26, 1999. It was originally slated for the Nintendo 64 disk drive system, so it would have came out later. They decided, nope, they were going to push it forward with the help of Blockbuster earlier, so you could do the print out your own photos thing at the Blockbuster super rental centers. Which was wildly popular, more popular than it should have been. Ended up being the 11th best-selling Nintendo 64 game of all time, 3.36-ish million copies, which is more than Majora's Mask, Yoshi's Story, Mario Party, Perfect Dark. I mean, list a bunch of games. There's only 10 you can pick that are better, so.
Well, there's never underestimate the eternal draw of the Pokemon. Yeah, it's a good game. I'm glad you mentioned the Blockbuster thing because that's honestly one of the most fun crossover things I can think of for video games in terms of companies kind of mutually benefiting each other like that. The print off thing is cool and ahead of its time because if you think about it now, like where do you go to get your digital pictures made? Well, you go to a kiosk at like fucking Walgreens or someplace. So it's ahead of its time in that regard. You can thank Pokemon Snap for your digital picture kiosks.
Yeah, and the kiosk is one of those things too. I always talk to Alvin about the stupid shit I'm buying. That was one of the things last year I tried to buy because there seemed to be pieces of them all over the place around me, but not a whole one. I'm like, well, if I can buy a bunch of pieces, maybe I can put one together. But I started pricing them and sourcing it and talking to people right when the whole COVID thing started happening, and then all of a sudden prices just started jumping, and I'm just like, I can go without a sticker
Yeah.
kiosk.
You
Maybe.
were
Maybe.
really close with that one guy though, weren't you? Like you were
Yeah. I went
almost
and saw
pulling that
it.
trigger. Yeah.
He had a like 50%. So it was the metal and all of the artwork on the side, but it didn't have the guts. So I could have had a really nice gutsless Pokemon stand, but then finding all the stuff to go inside of it is a big pain, and I just let it go.
I was gonna say the stand on its own would probably be worth everything anyway, because like literally you're gonna pay a fortune for whatever sticker material they fucking used anyway, probably, so you're never gonna actually use it.
That's true.
It's just one of those things. It's like, why is this still in my house? Oh yeah, it's that.
Yeah, but if somebody's like, why is this in your house? And then I could get it, I could walk up and like, all right, well, come over here. Bring your memory card, and then plug it in, and there's a slowpoke, then it'll all be worth it, right?
Wait, did Snap save to memory cards, or was it a did you have to bring the cart in?
I thought you had to bring your memory card.
Oh, maybe.
I never actually did it.
I didn't either. There wasn't really a Blockbuster around here for me to do it at, so.
Yeah, it was 10 miles away from where we lived, so.
And when you're on a bike, that's about as far as you can go. Yeah. Good trip down memory lane. Want to do a video game review?
Only if it's the same memories.
It's the same game.
Okay, then fine.
All right. Well, our review process is 5 categories on a 20-point scale. It's gameplay, story, replay value, aesthetics, and the value. And as always, we start with gameplay. I gave the gameplay on one of my favorite Pokemon and favorite Nintendo 64 games a 13 out of 20.
Yeah, and I gave it a 15 out of 20, 70%. I'm already upset if I end up scoring this thing higher than you, that I like this game better than you, purely on the 5 categories. Because if you, God damn it, you talk about Snap all the time.
I love Snap. That being said, the gameplay of Pokemon Snap is, I don't know. I mean, it's, you could almost call it an on-rail shooter, but it's not really a shooter. You're just traveling the track and throwing Pokeballs and the fruit and the pester balls and all that stuff. And they don't hit the way they should, if that makes sense. Like, you could throw something in a place and you're like, oh, damn, well, I know I hit them and it doesn't register. So you throw it again. I mean, there's no consequence to missing other than you might have to run it again if you miss the picture or your timing's off. So it's like, it's very low stakes. So the need for precision is not really there, but it does get frustrating at times. And don't like inverted joysticks. I don't like them. And other than that, there's not much control. I mean, the game moves for you. You just point the reticle and take a picture. That's it. But there's just not enough gameplay to really say it's astonishing, and it's not precise enough to be like a, I don't know, like a competitive arcade style game or anything like that. It's just casual fun, but I can't go much higher than what I'm at. I don't know.
You're right. It is Wheel of Fortune, the arcade game.
Yeah, it's got very, very little more than Wheel of Fortune.
Man. All right. Well, see, I did an entire list of like things that I would change, specifically thinking that you would blow this thing out of the water. So now I get to dump on it too. So,
go for it.
It's mostly like quality of life stuff. Like you said, it's an on-the-rail shooter. I could really use a 180 spin button instead of all three of the C buttons being for various 90-degree movements. That's really convoluted.
Which I never even used anyway.
Yeah, and you don't, because, exactly, because one snaps you forward, one snaps you to the left, and one snaps you. It's just as fast to do it with the joystick.
Yep.
In 90-degree increment, if you had a 180 spin where you could go from left to right, like when, you know, like when you pop Magikarp and he goes into the waterfall, you have to go from the entire left of the screen to the right to catch Gyarados, you know, like that kind of stuff. Spoiler alert, I guess.
Yeah,
But
spoiler alert.
well,
Giving away the game's biggest secret.
You don't even know how to get the Magikarp there, so don't even worry about it. but yeah, so I mean, that's one little thing. It only has 63 Pokemon, which I mean, I posted a little thing about that, that it had Ekans in the original thing because it was supposed to have 64. Nobody knows what happened to it because, you know, 64 Pokemon for Nintendo 64 and yada yada. But it's still not enough when they had all the Pokemon source material in the world at the time.
It's interesting because they repeat a lot of Pokemon too, so.
Yeah, in weird levels. Like, what, like, when the, like, Bulbasaur in the cave and shit, like, like.
Right.
Just put there, you had other Pokemon, dude. Like, we've all been to the rock cave. Like,
right.
We've all been there. Yeah, and the Mew level is essentially, it's special, but it's a throwaway level. That's a boring level, and you have to play it. Like, and you have to go through.
Not only boring, but frustrating. That's where the controls really, like, the lack of precision and the impact detection, that's where that really starts to, like, get on your nerves. Like, when you finally do get a good picture of Mew, it's, like, exciting, but then you never really want to do it again, because you're like, great, that's the highest scoring picture I'm going to get in the game, and that's the only time I need to do it, and it wasn't fun trying to get it, so we're done.
And the only other, like, mini, like, picky shit thing I could come up with is that it could have used either turn-based or side-by-side multiplayer. Like, it wouldn't have been hard. It, like, to go back and forth in a level instead of having to, like, make up your own, like, hand the controller off style game was right there. Like, we could, people could have taken, you know, you could take turns with the same level, and then the instead of going immediately to Oak, like, player one could pick their photos, and then player two could pick theirs, and then you had to head them before they go to Oak, like, without knowing what the score is. Like, all that stuff with it. But like I said, go play it. This game is fun. Yeah. It's a great on-the-rails shooter, and it is prime in the N64 age.
Hold on. I'm not going to say it's – if that's the genre we're comparing it to, I would hardly call it great, but it is a lot of fun for what it is. Because it is a rail – technically, I guess you could call it a shooter when you're just taking pictures and firing a gun,
yeah,
or something. But I mean, it's no fucking like Time Crisis. It's no House.
Well,
of the
that has
Dead
different mechanics, and that has different mechanics too. Like those,
right.
The Time Crisis has the like cover mechanic, and there's multiplayer in House of the Dead. Like this is just its own thing,
right?
And it does that one thing really, really well. It's just not a like a plus 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 game because that one thing is so simple.
Yeah, I mean it. You're really, that's one of those things too where you think about the market, because Pokemon was not in the 90s marketed towards like adults or older teenagers or college kids, which is what all the people that it was marketed to back then, they were all kids. So they're still marketing to the same people. They're not marketing to demographics. They're just like, no, it's the game you played as a kid now, but back then it was meant to be, you know, for younger kids. You know, that's just the way Pokemon began. You know, as deep as Pokemon was, it was still, you know, a children's property for all intents and purposes.
Sure.
So lost where we're going with this. Gameplay. We're still on gameplay.
Still gameplay.
Yeah. So what was the percentage we gave on it between us?
70%.
70%. So, I mean, that's not terrible. That's not bad. It's definitely a playable game. It's so as not high as our ratings are, it doesn't need to be. For what this game is, it doesn't need to be high. Like, it doesn't have to have a really super deep control style, or, you know, a lot of different mechanics, and it unlocks, you know, that's something we didn't really mention either, a lot of the mechanics unlock as you progress, so you don't have everything from the first run through, so you unlock like different, like the fruit lures Pokemon, the Pester Ball like disrupts them, you got different flutes for causing different effects for the Pokemon, and the ability to speed up and all that jazz. So that all gets unlocked as you go through. So you do get a bigger variety of tools at your disposal as you play. And it justifies you going back through and replaying levels because there's certain things you can't do on the first absolute playthrough. So ta-da, that's gameplay.
Curtain call.
Yep. So next category is story. I gave the story on this game a 15 out of 20.
And so did I for 75% of the points. Good on us.
Yay. So we're on the same page there. If you're looking for like a episode of Pokemon-esque style story, it's not there. There's not really the anime bullshit, though Professor Oak is 100% anime. It's but it does a good job like immersing you. Like it explains what you are doing, why you're doing it. It's got a good like feel to it, so you know it doesn't come off as like, you know, just I don't know how to describe it. Like there's nothing utilitarian about any of it. It's all like meant to make it feel like, you know, you're actually doing this thing. So in terms of that, in terms of putting you in a world, like in a role-playing type situation, it kind of gives you that. But I mean, there's Oak has voiced dialogue a little bit. He says, "Welcome back," which I quote a lot. I tried to do Professor Oak's "Welcome back" a lot to people, and nobody ever gets it because nobody fucking played this game that I know. So. But
Well, I
yeah.
expect it in all the episodes from now on when we come
Welcome
back from
back.
break. Yeah.
I'll just clip it in because I used to be able to do the voice better, but as I grew up, it stopped being as effective.
Time makes fools of us all.
Yep. Do you have any input on the story, sir?
I mean, Todd Snap is a great name for a photographer.
You're really limited in your career choices at that point, so you gotta do something and might as well take pictures.
Yep. But like you said, it's not the most in-depth story in the history of N64 games, but it's presented in such a like broad way that anybody, like, it doesn't matter who's playing it, you instantly know what you're there for, and it always feels like you're like it almost doesn't feel like you're playing a game, because even when you're in the menus, Oak is still talking to you just about photos and talking about individual photos and what he would like better. It's like literally like you're just going out and shooting, and then somebody's demeaning all your work, like every professional photographer in the world. Like
subjectively grading
objective.
you.
Yes. Well, it could have been better if there was another
Yeah.
person in the photo, dingus. Like,
This Pokemon isn't centered. It's like the entire frame of the picture is the Pokemon. Be like,
yeah.
what?
I could have seen more of a Charizard. No, you couldn't have. There's like 95% Charizard on this photo. Like, there's like 1% sky behind it. Not center.
You
Yeah.
know,
But,
this is actually probably like gameplay stuff too. That's kind of we didn't I'm going to go backtrack a little bit here, just talk about the rating system for gameplay, because there are some things that are guaranteed points, like certain special moves. If you get it, you know you're going to get the bonus or whatever. But some of the other scoring is totally off the wall. Like it is not perfect, but that's part of the fun and charm of the game, is that, you know, you can take a really great photo and you're like, oh, that wasn't quite right. And you're like, fuck you, it wasn't quite right. But they will still let you save the photo if you like it better, even if Oak doesn't. So.
Which only a nihilist would do, because you save the highest score. Who doesn't play for the highest score? You don't save the better looking one.
I save the better looking one if you're playing in a household of multiple people. And I'm like, that picture's stupid. My picture's better. Mine's staying in the album. Thank you
I
very
do not have a
much.
fart noise loud enough for that, so I'm
Hey,
not even gonna do it.
you're either gonna make pro gamer moves or you're gonna fucking be a noob. So you be a noob.
No, you get rich or die trying. And the only way you get rich in Pokemon Snap is for your Pokemon collection to have the highest score.
No, the only way you get rich in Pokemon Snap is if you never took the fucker out of the box and then sell it on eBay. Because good Lord, somebody's trying to sell one right now for $165 or $165,000.
Yeah,
Sorry.
I was gonna
I
say you missed
exaggerate.
a few
Yeah.
zeros.
Missed a couple
I mean,
zeros.
all eBay prices where there's just buy it now or asking are all a fucking joke because that's the way it is.
Right.
But yeah, we're in the Pokemon push right now, so
Yep.
they won't get it, but they'll get something.
Yeah, so back to story. Any more to say on story?
Nah, just if it would have been like if we would have decided that this was a sports game, it would only get like we'd only have like the commissioner and 40% of the teams.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. And they didn't, I guess 99. Did they have different regions then too?
Yeah, we were through Gold and Silver had been out
Oh
already, so
wow, okay. 'Cause yeah, they don't really,
I
you know,
think pretty sure.
it I almost would want to see what they would have done with this game if it had gone to disc or whatever, if it had they had done the disc drive or whatever, if they maybe would have had like more or added different regions and stuff, 'cause it would have been interesting.
I would like to guess that the only thing that would have been different if they would have did the disc drive is they would have Animal Crossing it and had the levels have a day and a night time like they were gonna do.
Oh, they
Because the
did.
disc drive had the built-in clock to it, which was the big selling feature of it. So
Yeah, in 99, if gold and silver were out, that's when the day night cycles came into play. So,
yep.
oh, that'd have been a great game. Hopefully, do that in the new one.
Yeah. Oh man. Oh,
I'm not gonna see it
I
single.
gotta get through all three of these Borderlands games before that comes out, and I'm not gonna
I'm
do it.
not gonna see a single daytime Pokemon if that's the case, because all I do is play at night. Wee! Yeah. All right. Well, that's the first two categories. So we'll go to commercial and we'll come back. Anyway, replay value. Next category. I gave replay value in this game an 18 out of 20.
Gave it a 17 out of 20, so 87.5%.
As we mentioned, kind of in the story section, though it should have been gameplay, the scoring is very subjective. So you're going to have to play through multiple times anyway, and that's part of the fun, is just trying to get new angles and figure out new ways to just get a little bit more points out of this weird scoring system. Plus you get all the extra tools later, so there's reason enough for multiple playthroughs in one clear. That being said, beyond that, that's where some of the competitive elements can kind of come in. You mentioned the multiplayer not being a thing, but that being said, if you're sharing a cartridge amongst like family or a household, it can be competitive in its own right, where you're trying to just outdo the next person's score, you know, just by even a little bit. So there's plenty of reasons to revisit this. You know, every once in a while, I'll clear the damn thing out and, you know, just take a fresh playthrough, just because it's fun to do and fun to see how much I remember. It's all second nature to me now. I've done it so many times, but yeah, like I just find it being, even though it's the same thing every time, there's a lot of life you can get out of that.
Yeah, it depends on you. Replay solely depends on what you are going to get out of this fairly short game. Because like you said, there's like this the scoring is very one-upsmanship, especially if you play with other people or know other people who are playing the game. It's very subjective and weird, and you can brag about stupid stuff because not necessarily, like you said, you may take a better photo. That isn't necessarily what Professor Oak thinks is the better photo. So,
Right.
But yeah, you could play this game nearly forever just running on that. You know, maybe I can do it a little better. But there is a, I mean, there's a cap score on each photo, but to hit a perfect photo or a tops that you can't beat could take you months of playing the same file before you get to the point where you can't improve any of your photos, or you could, but it's just you're so infuriated trying to do it that there's no way you're going to anyway. And then you clear the thing out and you do the motherfucker again, or you don't. And there it is. Speed run time. You want to take a guess at what the this, it goes from the first letter you enter in your name entry till you complete all 63, and Oak says see you later, and it cuts the credits.
15 minutes.
That's a good guess. It's 20 minutes, 32 seconds by Gunlap from
Oh,
Canada.
you know, it's funny because I was going to guess 20 minutes originally. I'm like, nah, you could probably do it faster than that. So cut 5 minutes off that time, loser.
It's this game has gotten competitive enough that any sub 21 minute time is scored to the millisecond now. Done,
Ooh.
it's judged frame by frame to the millisecond by an independent arbiter on speedrun, because there's now 10 sub 21 times that are
Oh,
all
wow.
fairly close to each other. So
That's intense. You know what's more of interest to me is that I bet you there's like high scores out there too.
yes, I did not look at the high score, but I'm sure that's even because that just carries. You know, you could work on your high score every single day, just like a speed run, and you don't have to ditch the
Right.
run. You could just do one level for 8 hours, grinding one, you know, one level's worth of 10 Pokemon or 20 Pokemon.
You know, I'm interested. Like that would be the ultimate speed run. Would be like, how quickly can you max out, like, you know, hit your like peak photo
That'd be so
score?
terrible. That'd be so bad.
That'd be an endurance trial.
Just with how finicky the fruit is. Like,
Yeah.
so to get like a maxed out Charmander score, it's not getting one really nice Charmander, it's getting 15 Charmander in the
Yep.
photo. And to make sure that the fruit have them all, because you got to get the fruit just right so they're facing, enough
Yep.
of them are facing towards you and counted in the photo. And oh my
Yeah.
God.
And then you have to like stop it at the perfect spot to get the best like angle where you get the most. Yeah. It'd be
And then
that.
even then, you take 45. If you just saved all your shots for that part of the level, and you took 45 or 55 photos of just Charmander, then you get to the screen, and it's not like it just tells you which one's the best. You should
Yep.
probably pick this one. It's like,
Yep.
oh, which one of these motherfuckers is going to be the this
It's
fucking game.
yeah, so it gets pretty it can get pretty deep in there if you really, really push for you know, squeezing that extra 50 points out. 'Cause I think it's like it's not I don't think it's scored up to the point. I'm trying to remember now. I think it's like a 50 point like minimum
Well,
number you can have or something, but
it's the 10 seconds. Yes, there's no single digit. There are only 10 multipliers of 10 and 20, and
right.
so yes. And then you already know after the first two categories whether
Oh,
you've
yeah.
beat the next photo or not, because then if you get the double for being in the center or good technique or whatever, then if you don't do
Yeah.
something really special, you're already just jamming on the A button as fast as you can. Like, just shut up. Just tell me. Let's go to the next one.
The worst one is when you open the photo and you're like, this is a good one. And then you get, you were close. And it's like, ah, oh,
Yep.
fuck me. What did I
Yeah.
do?
Yeah.
Like if you're trying to take a picture of a group of Pokemon and it doesn't figure out which one you were trying to center, and it like registers one of the like periphery Pokemon, think that that was
Yep.
your target shot. And it's like, God damn. So there's a weird amount of depth to how to get those extra points out of there. And it's not exactly a fucking science. It's pretty haphazard and random. You just kind of gotta know. Like, no matter how good you are at this game, I don't see it. Like, you could play the thing 50 times in a row and still not get the same fucking angle, but you might still get the same score. That's kind of there does reach a point where the amount of variance in the picture no longer matters. It's like that's as close as you can get. That's as much as you can get. You're done.
Are you going to bring up, since we're in the replay category, are you going to bring up the alcoholic beverage consumption game that you...
Oh, the Pokemon Snap drinking game?
Yes.
Yeah, well, there's a way to both increase the life and end your playing time of Pokemon Snap relatively quickly, and it was a drinking game that a friend of mine and myself developed, and we played it twice, but it is a very there's a lot of opportunities to drink, and we basically took a single player game and we multiplayered it and added alcohol. So I mean, there's a whole list of criteria. I couldn't just name it, and it wouldn't make sense for me to just name
all the things. I don't need you to list it, because I'm going to post it on the... Everybody's going to get to see it. All the people who are on the Facebook page and shit are going
to
get to see
Follow
it.
Our Facebook page if you want to see the very in-depth, detailed drinking game that was developed by yours truly. If you need any clarification, when this says one drink, a drink is glass down, pick up, drink, glass down. So glass down every time, or can, or whatever you're drinking. It works better with beer cans, I'll say. So you take a drink, and then you put the can down, and then you pick it up. So if there's multiple drinks, you have to can down every time. So it keeps you busy while you're the watching party, not the player, because you're going to be doing a lot of drinking, a lot of slamming cans.
I like it. Hopefully we'll get some videos of some people trying it.
That'd be fantastic. If you go to the hospital because you got alcohol poisoning from the Pokemon Snap drinking game, send it in. We'll send you something.
I'll send you a t-shirt or something. I'm not going to say what kind of t-shirt I'll send you, but
just a t-shirt. now we'll figure out some sort of swag if you send us like videos of you playing the Pokemon Snap drinking game.
Yeah. So I got plenty of shit to give away. I'm moving and they can't all come with me. So
yep. This is partially a help Mike finish moving service, but also I just want people to enjoy the game
and be drunk.
Yeah.
Because you will get drunk. Man, there's no way you play this Snap drinking game and don't get intoxicated.
To play the whole way through, yeah. There's multiple finish your drink criteria. So, yeah, it comes down to it. You have to have multiple drinks ready, too, because there's not really time to prepare unless, like, in the middle of a run. So, you don't have to play long, put it that way. If you know what you're doing, you don't have to play wrong. Play long.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Replay value.
No, we just did replay value.
No, that's it. That was just, I'm just saying as like a summary. Yes. Summary. Yes.
Correct. Okay. Next category is aesthetics. I gave it a 20 out of 20.
See, now this is what I was expecting of you. I gave it an 18 out of 20, 95%.
Now, this game looks good. It sounds good. It has, you know, Pokemon noises and the music and all that stuff. Oak's got voice acting. But the biggest part is the game still looks good. Now, that's to be expected. It's a fucking rail shooter. Everything is like a canned animation. So it's like if you took a wrestling game and you cut out all of the player input for the movements and just showed all the motion captured animations. So it should look good, but it actually holds up really well. Looking through screenshots now, even I'm just like, oh, that actually still looks good. I've used some of them in memes in the past. That's how good the screenshots were. So this is part of the reason why I'm super excited about the Switch, because we'll have the ability to just straight up upload these photos now, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But the game still looks amazing. The sound is good. It really captures the Pokemon atmosphere. So I enjoy every bit of it.
Yeah, the simplistic nature of like Pokemon models from this time, combined with the variety of environments that they put in this game, which isn't, I mean, we say that it's short, but there's still a lot of different places to take photos. And even in the same level, you go in and out of caves, you go around river bends, you go, you know, all over the place. So there's the whole game has a good, like complete natural feel to it. The Pokemon don't look out of place in the background. The backgrounds are not overly complicated to make the Pokemon look too simplistic. Everything has a good total game look to it. And it holds up. Like you said, it's 20 years old. And it's still a really good looking game. Especially for N64, where, you know, this not being not a graphically challenging game on the system, they still pushed it to where it needed to be to keep it looking nice over time. And there's no like slowdown or stutter at any point, unless you're like, maybe if you're just holding the accelerator to get through a level, sometimes it like makes the cart do some weird stuff, but it's not the game slowing down. It's just the game physically stopping you from getting too far ahead and pushing a Pokemon or something like that. So like you said, music is good. Sound effects are good. I mean, yeah.
And that's kind of the thing. Like that's, if every Nintendo 64 game looked as good as this game, the system would have been, I think, by and large, like far more successful, because, you know, this just kind of showed the future of where 3D modeling could go and stuff like that. Like it really showed the potential behind it. Obviously, when everything is just, you know, a scripted animation, it's a lot different than when you're trying to change things in, you know, real world with player inputs and stuff like that. So, but yeah, it's a good looking game. And did this come out before or after Stadium?
I think it went Stadium 1, Snap, Stadium 2, if I do recall correctly.
Okay, because I wasn't sure if this was the first 3D Pokemon that we got.
I don't quote me on that, because we haven't reviewed either Stadium game, but
yeah.
But I know all I know is specifically is sales-wise, this one outsold Stadium 2 and probably would have outsold Stadium 1. It was pretty close to Stadium 1 within a million. But Stadium 1 was, there was a bundled console packaged that had Stadium in it. So it had inflated sales like Donkey Kong and Mario and a few other games. So this game would have probably, as a standalone title, because of the marketing they did with it, probably would have been the best selling N64 Pokemon game had Stadium not come bundled with systems and get a push that direction. So,
which is, I mean, that makes sense too, because in all honesty, this was probably the really only, I want to say, standalone Pokemon game, because like Stadium has its own gameplay elements, but it's also designed to be played with your, you know, your Game Boy
yes,
game Pokemon or whatever. So
yeah, and you had to have to play to really enjoy Stadium. Yeah, you had to buy the extra thing. You had to buy the transfer pack, and you had to have another game. You could play the single player Stadium, which is fun to navigate the game with the Pokemon included in the game, and that you earn while playing Stadium. But it's not the same as importing your own Pokemon. So
right. What was Hey You Pikachu? Was that a GameCube game?
Nope, that's the system too.
Not Hey You. Oh, yeah. That's the one system I'm thinking of, right?
That's N64. That's
64? Yeah. Oh, okay. I never actually played that one, so.
Oh, well, you're in for a treat.
Because I was getting confused with Hey You and Let's Go.
Well, there is a voice Pikachu game for the GameCube too, but it's Pokemon Park. That was Wii. I don't know, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah,
because we're not going to review it, but it does matter because Hey You Pikachu is on here, and that game is not good.
So this is one of two standalone primarily standalone Pokemon games And
Yes.
it's the better one.
Yes. Well, the other one isn't even a game, so it's the only one. I am seriously concerned about that game being the worst game on the system.
Oh God, really? It's that bad?
It's really not good. And I mean, the saving grace is that you yell at the TV, so there's that.
Oh
But
wait, hold on. I just realized this game's gonna that game is gonna require a microphone. Do you have the microphone?
I have one. It functions when it feels like it, so I'll probably have to get another one.
Okay.
Which, but coincidentally enough, you can't really tell if it's functioning or not functioning because the gameplay elements, Pikachu kind of does what he wants, like you would imagine he does in real life. He or she does, it does. So yeah, I'm convinced that my microphone is probably faulty, so I will have to scoop another one and see if it plays better. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just fine and the game is just even worse than I think it is, but there's no way to test that, so.
Nice. I do recall hearing about how poorly Pikachu reacted to people telling him to do things. So
Yeah.
great. Exciting things
Just
to look
that
forward to.
peripheral that we needed for just that game.
Well, and the Mario, oh wait, no, the Mario Party that needed the mic was
That's
GameCube.
GameCube
Boy, it's funny how Nintendo really tried to make voice happen and never really succeeded. Meanwhile, Sega Dreamcast gave you C-Man, and C-Man learned whole goddamn languages for
I
you.
love that game until it got creepy. Until they get
Yeah.
like the fully form, like they start with the face, but until they get the fully formed, and you're like, okay, now I don't want to talk to you anymore because I need to get out of the house now.
Ah, tangents, all sorts of tangents. There, you're getting the memories you wanted out of this one.
Am.
All right. So we're done with that category. We're going to move on to the final category, and that is value. This game is currently price charting at $27.25. And talking before the episode, Mike and I were, it's selling for over 30. So this is a game on the up, and it's probably going to keep going up because the sequel's coming out, which is why we're reviewing it now. So at that price point, I was only able to give the value score a 7 out of 20.
Which is a travesty. I gave it a 12 out of 20, 47.5%.
It's, as you mentioned, it's a one of the biggest selling games of this console, and it's still selling for almost 30 goddamn dollars. That's too much money. It's available on the Wii U market for, like, if you owned it previously, like $2. Otherwise, it's like, what, $10? Something
Yeah,
like that.
$9.99 if you'd never bought it anywhere else, so 3DS
Yeah.
or Wii
Yeah.
or any of that shit. So.
So you can play it cheaper on a better suited system. 27's just a bit high. I mean, I would still pay it if I didn't own it. And I'm not saying it's not worth it. It's just not really a value. Not right now, not at this price.
Okay, fine. It's yeah, it's double the average, and yeah, it's cheaper on console. But I mean, I collect games, and you can't. This is the only way to get this game. There's no, well, we can get it on PlayStation, or you can play. Like, you can't get a physical copy anywhere other than Nintendo 64. And the sequel is going to come out, and it's still not going to have the original one bundled with it. Like, it's not going to be downloadable content. It's going to be an entirely new game because this is Nintendo. So this is the only way you can play this game and own it as a collector is to own the physical copy of this game. And it's a classic. We have discuss the game, and it is essentially a must-buy game in some form, whether you buy it physical or you buy it digital or you buy it, you know, whatever, I guess emulated, but it's one of those games that emulates really poorly. So I gave it a 12 because that's where it belongs.
I would have given it over 10 if it was in like the $20 range, where I'm sure it was at some point.
Where it probably was when we started this show, yes.
So, yeah.
Even it's less.
The fact that it's going up in price right now is just, it's Pokemon, man. We looked at the Pokemon prices too. Like Pokemon Emerald is selling for like $150, like not even in a goddamn box. So, you know, it's a bad time to buy. It's a bad time to need to buy Pokemon. If you have to have Pokemon in any sort of like retro form, period. Like I'm talking retro, even like DS. It's a bad time because I've seen people posting pictures of was it Diamond and Pearl for like $80. So. It's too much. The goddamn price is too damn high. That's it. That's all I gotta say. I can't do it any more than that.
It's sad because final tally was you at 73 and me at 77. I should never have ranked this game higher than you. So we are a total 75%. So still a top whatever 5-6 game, but not where it should be, according to the words that have come out of your mouth for the last 9.5 years. So,
remember my last week's power trip where I said, just like the things you like. Don't worry about what people think of you liking it. This is one of those things. I understand this is not a terrific game. This isn't Smash Brothers. This isn't like, I'm going to go buy a Nintendo 64 to play Pokemon Snap. Though, that being said, there would probably be incentive for me personally to do that because I have a lot of nostalgic ideas connected to this game. But it's still just, you know, taking pictures of Pokemon. It's the biggest disappointment with me and I'm glad they're finally doing the Pokemon Snap sequel, which is great because I was looking forward to that. And I essentially made it happen with my demands.
Correct.
So, like, we had Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go is the absolute perfect venue for where Pokemon Snap as a game should have went. And they added the picture taking thing, but there's nothing. The only reason to do it is to literally just take the picture and then be like, look, there's a Pokemon on your shoulder. Look, there's a Pokemon here and that sort of thing. It doesn't really gamify it. It just kind of did it. So to not, they should have had, they could have taken Pokemon Go, thrown all of the spin the ball and throw the thing and just done pictures and then just had like a big online forum where people would like vote things up or score things or rate things and use something like that. But Pokemon Go isn't really Nintendo. It's a company pretending to be Nintendo. So that's just where it's at. So once again, tangent, but related.
You're getting the thing you want though, because what you're saying about Switch is 100% the way they're going to run it. It has to be. It's going to be people uploading their photos. There's going to be I guarantee there'll be contests because it's Nintendo and that's what they do. And everything's going to be there. So
I like the idea of contests and stuff like that. I don't like the idea of the core game necessarily being, you know, user driven because that ultimately puts a lifespan on the game when people stop playing it. Mm-hmm. And it also opens it up to all sorts of Reddit bullshit where people boost things that shouldn't be boosted and all that shit. But let's just say I don't trust fandoms in general.
Oh, they're all terrible. Every game. There isn't a single video game that's got good fans.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the game is. Yeah. TV shows too.
Yeah.
Every fan of everything is true.
The only good fans are podcast fans.
And even then, if it's the Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah. It's weird because podcast fans are also some of the worst people that you can find, depending on the podcast. So,
That's
podcast.
Fine because you're all great. Yep.
Even
so speaking of winners, you want to guess who the winner for highest ranking given to this game by a major magazine company is?
Well, I'm going to guess fucking IGN because they seem to love everything.
They were the lowest.
No shit.
So it got a Metacritic score of 77%, so very close to ours. EGM, 83. GameSpot, 8. IGN 7.8 and Nintendo Power gave it a 8.7. So Nintendo Power was a high one.
Well, that makes sense. Honestly, Nintendo Power should have given that game that high of a rating. If they wouldn't have, I'd have been like, why'd you fucking make it?
It's true.
It's a labor of love. Oh, so that's it. We're now done with this podcast. We reviewed the only game that mattered.
Well, one of two games that matter.
I suppose.
We should have just back to back. We could have got them both out of the way. We could have just back to back them and then fought about it.
Just in case something happens.
Yeah.
I've been like, well, we got Quest, we got Pokemon Snap, and that's what we were looking for, so. Smash Fuck Brothers, it. Ocarina of Time. What are those? Fuck those games.
Fuck it. Quest and Snap. All right. Well, so we skipped the rigmarole. The next game we're doing is number 57 out of the jar. It's Mega Man 64. I am terrified of this game because it's long and 3D, and I don't know. I've never played it.
Oh, so. No. This is the 3D one?
Yep.
Oh,
it's also known as Mega Man Legends on the PlayStation console.
I see. Well, the only Mega Man I ever played that I enjoyed was Mega Man X. So,
you like 2? Everybody likes 2.
Nobody likes 2. 2 is hard as fuck.
I like 2.
I don't like hard platformers. I don't like platformers in general. And when they get really fucking hard, I hate them even more. So,
what? Okay.
Yep, but now we get 3D, so maybe it won't be hard. I don't know.
Well, it will be.
It will be. It'll be a motherfucker. Hopefully it looks good. Hopefully it looks at least as good as Pokemon Snap.
And it does.
Why bother? No spoilers.
Hopefully it's at least a 20.
Yeah. Hopefully it's at least perfect.
Yeah. All right, well. Let me power trip then.
Power trip. All right, power trip time. Power trip is 30 seconds of uninterrupted time for the higher reviewer to talk about whatever they want. This week it was Mike, who is coming out hot this season. I kind of dominated the first season of power tripping, but Mike is getting his power trips in this time.
Yeah, I like Tom Clancy, and I like fuck. I don't know what else that I like. I don't even know what I like. FIFA soccer, maybe. I don't remember what else I liked.
I thought I did. You hated FIFA soccer. you hated FIFA soccer before you even handed the cartridge to me.
South Park. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't even remember what we played this year.
I don't remember yet either.
Wheel of Fortune, remember. Probably.
I forgot our last episode because it was we put that picture of Prince Philip as the thumbnail. Oh, it was Pool. Yeah, yeah, Pool. Hey, everybody, listen to this episode. If you haven't yet, go back and listen to our Pool episode. It's not getting a lot of love here.
People don't go searching out virtual pool when they're looking for podcast episodes.
I mean, we didn't like the episode either, so I don't blame y'all. But yeah, give it a listen. There might be some content in it. And that's what we're about, content, which is what this is, content. So, Power Trip, we have a sponsor. Hey, Mike.
Yes, Alvin.
What's your favorite kind of mon?
Did you?
Well, you are dead on. That's our sponsor this week. Digimon, Digital Monsters. Digimon are the champions, but only the first season because, I don't know, the rest of it just got weird. So
I didn't even know there was any more.
Oh, there are more, and none of the characters from it are, it's like all like out of canon in the real world type stuff. It's not, they took away what everybody loved about Digimon and they just made it all different. So first season of Digimon, Digital Monsters, Digimon are the champions, is the sponsor for Pokemon Snap Power Trip.
Let me tell you, if you really like the first season, you should play the Cyber Sleuth game on the Switch then.
Is that a Digimon game?
It is Digimon Cyber Sleuth, yes.
Sounds fantastic. And if you like raising monsters and fighting them, you should just play Monster Rancher, which we will never get to review, but is the greatest game franchise of all time.
I thought you were going to go Jay Cocoon here, but yeah, Monster Rancher makes sense.
Well, Monster Rancher, that's my heart. Every time I'm playing a video game, I'm like, this is good, but it's not put all of my CDs into my console to find out what monster they give me good. None of this has to do with Digimon, our sponsor, but it is monster adjacent, and I feel like that's important.
I do still own Monster Rancher 2, and I am ready at any time to start cataloging every disc in my house.
We should instead get Monster Rancher 4. Oh wait, no, I don't know. Would the PS2 register a Blu-ray disc? Probably not.
I know. See, I knew that the PS1 won't, so I can push those discs off to the side. But maybe it does register it and just gives you a generic or something.
Yeah. Well, like I had that burnt disc that gave me a Phoenix, and that was it. Yeah. Was actually, you know what disc actually gave you a Phoenix, like a legit disc, was the band Hanson Christmas album. What was it called? Snowed In or Snow Day? I forgot which one.
Oh,
it was. But yeah, Hanson's Christmas album gave you a Phoenix on Monster Rancher.
The only one I remember by name is the Dances with Wolves soundtrack, giving you that wolf ? Specialty wolf.
So. Okay, Mui. Yeah. Sugar Ray's Floored also gave you a special one. That is literally the only CD I had that gave you anything special before I started hunting down CDs that gave me special monsters.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
So
Power Trip.
Digimon Monster Rancher Power Trip.
Yep.
Jay Cocoon.
Okay. Are you ready, sir?
Yes.
All right. We're going to do 3, 2, 1.
But I am not ready to stop being mad about Pokemon games. Elvin alluded to this. For fuck's sake, don't buy a single Pokemon game right now. Maybe except for Pokemon Snap and the new one. Red and Blue are $50 for loose games. Heart Gold, Soul Silver, like $150 for a DS game. Emerald's $150+ for, I mean, no. Don't do any of that. Colosseum on the GameCube, which is already expensive, is like $90 for a loose disc. Nope, cut. Not done.
Cut.
Not still
cut.
Going.
Cut. Cut. Ooh. I will let you talk a little bit longer about Pokemon prices because it kind of ties into a thing we occasionally do. So this Power Trip is turning into a Mad Mike's don't fucking buy this. Buy sell extravaganza.
I mean, on top of that, everybody dumps on like Sword and Shield. It's like, isn't it a great Pokemon game? We don't like this. It's like dumbed down. But yeah, but you know what you can do? You can go to the store and you buy Sword and Shield for less than retail right now. a lot of places have it like $10 off, or buy it digitally, or even get it for full blown retail with the add-on expansion packs to them. So it's a full fucking Pokemon game that you're not spending 4 and 5 times the original price for. So suck it. I'm not spending extra on Pokemon. I hate this shit. Like, I'm almost ready to sell all my Pokemon games if I didn't have such FOMO about getting them back again. Like, yeah. I have a complete Heart Gold with the Pokewalker, and I could probably get nearly $300 for it right now. But yeah. Am I going to get that back down the line? Like, I know I'm going to want it again, so I'm probably not. So,
and you won't ever need it. No, I retired from the actual Pokemoning during Black White. That was my final thing. I'm like, the idea of the daunting task of playing through yet another Pokemon game and transferring all my Pokemon over, because I actually had Pokemon that I had moved like from Game Boy Advance games up into the DS like world. Like, that's how far I followed that up the chain. So yeah, the idea of playing another one was kind of like, no thank you, I'm done with Pokemon. So all of my god tier competitive tournament Pokemon went to some lucky kid who probably immediately erased the game file instead of taking the best Pokemon they would have ever had, because they were all bred and shit and max capacity. It was, yeah. So I managed to curb my FOMO hard and trade all the games. So I did not even get value for my games. And now I'm kind of kicking myself, seeing that y'all are fucking nuts and spend way too much money, but such is life. But I'm getting what I actually wanted in Snap, because if I was in the Pokemon world, I would just be a Pokemon photographer. That'd be my job.
Do Pokemon weddings and Pokemon gender reveals. And
oh my god, that's actually a great idea. Like, anybody who took a picture at like your wedding or whatever would have to like do it from the Pokemon Go app with a Pokemon in it. Like, all I want is Pokemon in my pictures. Make it happen, somebody who's getting married. I don't want to get married, I just want to get divorces. So
so you want people to take pictures at weddings but put their Pokemon Go Pokemon in the wedding?
Yeah, that's what they should do. That should be the only way people should be allowed to take pictures at weddings if they're not a paid photographer, is if you're playing Go.
I endorse this message. I'm about it.
We're doing it.
I should get married again just so people can do that at my wedding.
We should propose it. Mike and I are among other things, admins of a regional Pokemon. Well, moderators, not admins. Moderators of a regional Pokemon Go group. And when it was really hype, we probably could have made somebody do this.
We probably still could, but maybe. Yes.
We'll have to make it a prerequisite to joining the group.
Or if anybody wants to have or is getting married and is friends with our Facebook page or any of this yada yada, this, that, and the other thing, play Pokemon Snap at your bachelor party and get all pissed up, and we can combine these things all together.
Oh man. I mean, they charge you to take pictures at the strip club, but it'd be funny as shit to be playing. Be like, hey, you can't take pictures in here. Be like, hold on, what if there's a Pikachu? And then you'll get cease and desists from everybody.
I'll allow it. No celebrity deathmatch on N64. That's a shame.
I had that game for
PlayStation
2.
Yep.
I'll allow it. They brought that back for a while too, when MTV was trying to figure out what they were before they decided they were going to be just show clips of YouTube all day.
I like the idea of us playing the games that we like from other systems, but I feel like there's a lot of podcasts that do those. Like, I more like the games that we don't like. Those are the more fun ones to play. Like, I don't want to just like go picking and choosing among systems. That's why I want you to do all the
Yeah.
Tiger handhelds.
Ugh, gross. You have to acquire all of them first, though, remember?
I'm working on it.
I don't know how many there are, so you're gonna have to do that, man. There's probably a bunch of Japanese ones too,
It
because
doesn't
they have
matter because I'll
tigers.
just tell you I have them all, and you'll until you find one to prove me wrong. Would you like? What are you
I'll
gonna do?
just Google the number and be like, well, I don't care which ones you have, but you have to have like at least 475 of these or whatever.
Getting there.
God, it's
Got
gonna be.
Leech Vino's fighting golf now.
I mean. What do we grade aesthetics on for that? Like the colors on the border and the actual cart, like the
You
handheld?
grade it any way you want. I grade N64 games based on the color of the plastic that they're packaged in. So,
Well, see that also lends to my very correct stance that the pinball game is still the best handheld because it's got the orange buttons and a blue case.
lot of argument here.
Yep, it's the best one.
Though the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle and Star Wars ones are shaped like a Pac-Man ghost. So.
Oh no, there's a st wait. They're both shaped like a Pac-Man ghost?
Not Star Wars, Star Trek. But yes, they are.
Oh. Well, that's even weirder. Like, at least Star Wars, be like, well, I guess there's a ghost in Star Wars, but Star Trek? No, there's no ghosts in Star Trek.
You sure?
I'm about 90% sure
That there's
that
no ghosts in
the
space.
only ghosts you'll find in Star Trek is on the holodeck.
This is one of those things where I wish more people listened to tell you you're wrong.
Oh yeah, well, I don't listen to Trekkies anyway. You know how I treat nerds.
Look the way you treat me stupendously.
Yeah, you fucking
Yeah. Fucking.
nerd.
Fuck you, you square. Oh. So anyway, the only other thing I have to complain about is that there's no Bomberman 99 yet.
Oh, what? Yeah, no, that, oh my God, that game is so perfect for this.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that better be in the works. Is
It's not, it's
Bomberman,
just in my head.
who makes, is, what's the Bomberman publisher that, is that like Namco or who fucking makes Bomberman?
I think that's Konami.
Oh, is it
Here,
Konami?
I got the brand. I got the new one for the Switch. I'll just go walk over here.
Walking
Do,
over,
do, do,
walking over. Not doing dead
do.
air while Mike walks
No.
across the.
Super Bomberman R is Konami. Yep.
Konami, okay. So.
33rd Bomberman since 1983, according to the case. It also says, wah!
Does that count the Xbox 360 Bomberman where it was like hardcore realistic Bomberman?
Oh man, it has to.
I wasn't even sure if that was a Konami game or if that was just like, we're just gonna steal it.
Yep, Bomberman, the long forgotten Xbox game, just like I have like Tekken Tag Tournament 2 on the Wii U. I bet you lots of people played Tekken Tag Tournament on the Wii U.
Wait, that was on the Wii U?
I mean, I'm holding it, so
No
yes.
kidding. Tekken Tag Tournament's actually good.
It is good.
I don't know if it was
I
good
bet
on
you a lot of
Wii
people
U.
played Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Blacklist on the Wii U too. And yet, here it is getting in my way of Bomberman. Back to my chair.
I have a confession to make.
You haven't played a single Tom Clancy game since.
Since Rainbow Six? No.
Yeah.
No, I have owned Splatoon on two different consoles and I've never played it.
You have it on the Wii U and on the Switch, and you haven't played either of
I've never played it. I don't even have the one on the Switch anymore. I traded
Damn,
it in.
son. I love Splatoon.
Everyone loves Splatoon, but for me, it was just a matter of I'm not going to play a multiplayer game by myself, so I didn't play it.
Well, guess what? you don't have a whole lot of choice because the matchmaking is pretty hard to find friends, and
Oh, gross.
But it's still so much fun, dude. It's so much fun.
Well, I also haven't bought the new Smash Brothers yet either. And I don't know why I haven't bought the new Smash Brothers yet, because it literally has everything I've ever wanted in Smash Brothers. Like, you can be Sephiroth and Cloud. Like, the fuck?
It does have that, but it also has host shotgun, so that's why I don't play it very much. So,
well, that's online. I mean, I probably would not play much Smash online. It
well,
would.
how are you going to play it then? The single player is really dopey.
Really? It sucks?
Well, it's not great. Like, it's got like a, there's a mission thing and get all the spirits or the, you know, the other things and stuff, but like, it's not the same as playing Smash online.
Well, I'd rather have a group of people playing together on Smash anyway, so.
That's true. And you can make the amiibos fight each other, so that's cool.
Yay.
Can I say, that's another thing. People should be, but why don't people buy more amiibos? I should be talking about how much I like amiibos more frequently on this podcast, but people should buy a lot of amiibos. That's another, they're jumping way out of the fucking park now too.
I'm not surprised. It's because they didn't really have a lot of utility other than.
Yeah, it did end after the Wii U. The Switch doesn't have nearly as many things. Like, I feel like every Wii U game had an amiibo attached to it somehow.
Like, they should absolutely have made Animal Crossing have every fucking amiibo give you, like, something. Like, some item from the game. Animal Crossing can push fucking anything. Those Sanrio fucking cards sold out like in a minute from Target, and I don't know, are they ever getting more? Because I'd like to get some.
Single run. But they've come back down now. God. So the people who are charging $60 a pack have come down to like $25 a pack. So if you still really want to get them, 25 is probably not terrible at this point.
That's not terrible.
I know just, it's not $6.99 or whatever they were, $8.99, but yep, I tried. I reloaded my Target app 3 times and they were instantly gone. So.
Yep. Ah, so lame. But can't you get like fake ones off Etsy or something?
You can get, anybody can get an NFC chip maker and make your own amiibos, but it's not the same as owning them.
Well, I honestly don't want to own them. I just want the stuff in the game. I'm not gonna lie, man. I'm very much embracing the digital age. I hate changing cartridges out. My Switch has become Animal Crossing is permanently in there, and the only other games I play or whatever is digital. So,
you are not buying Snap digitally.
If I go to a store and it doesn't fucking have it, you goddamn right I am, because I'm not waiting a day.
There's no way that there's no way Snap's going to be underproduced. I guarantee there's going to be a billion of them, just like 3D All-Stars. Nintendo won't do that to a first party.
They had better fucking not, because let me tell you, they fucked up with their goddamn controllers, because I couldn't go to the store and buy a goddamn controller for like 3 goddamn months.
Well, that was COVID's fault. That wasn't Nintendo's fault. They just couldn't make enough.
Well, there better be plenty of snaps on day one. Because I won't pre-order anything anymore. That's kind of become my thing. Although, no, I take that back. I did pre-buy Rust for Xbox One digital, of course, because I already decided I'm playing that game, so...
How is Rust on Xbox One? Have you played it?
Couldn't tell you. It's not out yet.
Okay. That's what I needed to know. Yeah. I do like Rust, and I have dabbled in it, but that's another one of those games where I would need somebody else to be around.
Sir, we can play Rust.
I know, but...
We don't even have to play at the same time. It's great.
I know. I've been playing through all the Borderlands trilogy on my Switch, and I know how to manufacture the maximum amount of fun out of that game by myself. You do not know the lengths I will go to grind the same shit over and over again until I have gotten every ounce of satisfaction I possibly can get. But I killed Skagzilla like 15 times today while I was waiting for my food to cook and stuff. So.
I almost finished this battle pass. Well, on Warzone. I'm not going to actually finish the Battle Pass. I just need to get to the 80s pop hits because it gives you Toto's Africa to play in the vehicles while you're driving.
Not my favorite song.
My only incentive for finishing this.
Don't even register Africa as an 80s hit. That feels like a 70s song to me.
It does. Well, I mean, Toto just kind of feels like a 70s thing, but they're not. They're very much a product of the 80s.
Weird. They feel like Jefferson Airplane Starship to me.
Nope, the 80s were a wild time.
I guess.
Yeah. I got
Well,
a
I
new
don't have. Yeah, tell me.
I got a new knife. I
Oh,
got it
like
for
a.
free. Like a folding knife. My mom had a folding buck knife, a buck 110 that she got from somebody and she's like, I don't use it anymore. So now I got it. So fun.
So now it's sharp as shit and ready to stab me.
Well, I needed a folding knife. I break a lot of like gas station cheapo knives because I like using knives as my tool for everything.
Yeah, they're the best screwdriver
Yeah.
and
Like
pry bar.
there's so many things. Like blister packs don't bother me no more because I always have a knife. But now I have a knife that's actually like solid, good knife, and I can put it in my pocket. We didn't have a lot of banter this time, but we had a lot of episode because it was a big one. Had to talk more about it. I'm still excited for Pokemon Snap too. That's what I'm most looking forward to for this year.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of other video game stuff I bought either. Or, in fact, stuff in general, because I'm trying to pare down for moving. So that might be a thing coming up too. We don't know how we're going to deal with that, but at some point I have to move all of my video game stuff, which is like, because I don't like digital, like 4,000 plus physical copies of video games that are already boxed because we planned on moving a while ago, but the housing market is much like the Pokemon market and everything is inflated and it took us forever and I am still me, so I refuse. We did bid over, in fact, way over on a couple houses we really liked, like $15,000 and $20,000 over asking price, and still didn't win them or didn't receive the houses. But we do have a house now, and I didn't spend too much on it, so I can still afford to play video games and buy video games and stuff, so that's a big plus. But I have to move all my video games, so at some point we're probably going to miss a week of the podcast or do a special episode. Maybe it'll be a special episode of me in a U-Haul telling Alvin all the games I just touched, or have him guess which game I'm looking at, like an I Spy edition.
Or I could do a solo episode and make everybody listen to like the history of Ace Combat, a game that had no Nintendo presence.
I like that. I did think about doing some solo episodes early on when we were doing the Mad Mike's thing, because we always had talk of just in case episodes, and we could always do one on. I wanted to do one on the gloves that Nintendo gave out when Mario Party ruined everybody's hands and stuff.
Back when people didn't realize they could just turn the controller upside down.
Fuck you. No, you cannot. You do not get top score on the wind up Shy Guy by turning your controller upside
And
down. It's either your entire
rubbing it into the
hand or
ground.
yeah. You know, another stupid thing I just learned the other day is that for games like Super Street Fighter, like the later ones, and Virtual Fighter, that a lot of people, when they play at home with the pads, would tuck it under their shirt and then use so their thumb didn't run against a D-pad all day long and run a hole into their thumb from the D-pad motions. So you'd
No kidding.
put the controller under your shirt, and then you'd hold it through your t-shirt so your thumb is not actually touching the D-pad. It's instead, touching your shirt so it runs smoothly over the D. I had never heard of that, and I saw multiple people do it recently.
That's interesting. I don't know why, once again, something as simple as a glove could have maybe fix that problem.
Well, but you have to take it out, put it on, take it off. Or, you know, I guess just a t-shirt is just a thing, a quick fix. You don't have to have it with you. I don't. But man, the ingenuity of people to stop yourself from ruining your digits and your palm and stuff over video games is intense.
Pro gamer moves. I honestly am just not good enough at fighting games, and anything that requires me to do those fast button inputs now are just kind of like, I'm not enjoying this. I don't want. I'm not good at this anymore. I don't. I have no intention of ever being good at this ever again. Give me back the wrestling game where I just mash the button until it fucking does it or doesn't.
Yeah. I'm a good counter artist, but not a good be the first to go. Same with like real-time strategies. I have never been good at a real-time strategy game. Maybe Total Annihilation on the PC was the last one I was really good at. But every time we bought, when we did 360 strategy, like Halo Wars and Christ, I don't even remember what else. I'm so bad at watching my things do things instead of doing other things. Like, yeah, you build that silo. Fuck yeah.
I am really bad at it because I don't want to play the winning strategies, which means like doing X amount of moves per second. I just want to build a bunch of things and then have big armies crash into each other. I don't want strategy.
Yeah, you want somebody to play the exact same way as you, so then you can watch an epic battle as opposed to somebody sending over a bunch of $1 army pieces to ruin all your shit while you build it. Yeah,
I'm a Zerg rusher on StarCraft, and my favorite real time strategy that I was actually kind of good at was Goblins on the Lord of the Rings game, because that was your Zerg rush, and I would just flood people with goblins right away. And if you don't win in like the first 5 minutes, you're not fucking winning. So
that is the other one I was trying to think of. I knew there was more than one that I was terrible at, and that's the other one. So
Battle for Middle Earth was so much fun. Actually, Battle for Middle Earth had a specific like couple of maps for people like me where you could actually start in like one of the pre-made like castles, like Helm's Deep and shit like that. And it was basically became like a 3-on-1 where everybody attacked just that one castle and you had all these big walls to defend yourself. So that was fun.
Dumb. I will never like that kind of game again.
Well, there's only one of those kind of games on this console, and it's Command and Conquer.
Command and Conquer is on Switch?
No, 64.
Oh, no, I think there's... Is there only one? Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh, unless there's an ogre battle, right?
Ogre battle's tactic turn-based RPG. Oh,
okay, never mind then. Yeah. So yeah, Command and Conquer is the only one I can think of.
StarCraft too. StarCraft 64.
Oh, I forgot they did that, didn't they? Oh, okay. Well, that could be fun. For me.
No. Yeah, for you. Oh, how could like how I don't even know how that control scheme's gonna be fun.
Oh, that's going to be terrible. It's going to look like garbage, too, and you're not going to be able to like see what's happening. Oh, it's going to be so bad. Looking forward to it.
Sluggy, and I bet you neither of them use the expansion pack, too, so it's probably just dot hell all over the screen.
I don't know. My Command & Conquer cartridge never worked, and I traded it in, and they didn't test it because it was busy in the store, which was great, so I got my money.
Good. Mine works, but I won't play it because it's a real-time strategy and I don't give a fuck. Until it's drawn out of the jar, then I care immensely.
Oh, yeah. Well, right. This is a content-heavy episode, so keep listening, and if we miss a week, it's because Mike is moving. So,
yep.
That's it.
That's it. Have a good day. Digimon, digital monsters, Digimon are the champions. Change into digital champions to save the digital world. Digimon, digital monsters, Digimon.